Well, a third of all Australians over the age of 65 were born overseas. That's according to the Australian Bureau of Stats. Yet their experience of aged care can be vastly different from the rest of the population. Chalani is an 82-year-old woman from Brisbane. She's an Australian citizen and migrated here from Sri Lanka more than 50 years ago.
When do you stop being a migrant? I've been here for over 55 years, you see, and I have no will to go back to Sri Lanka even for a visit anymore, because to me, this home. We migrated in 1969. We came here as permanent migrants. I think at that time they were winding down the White Australia policy. So I've lived here longer than I've lived in the country I was born in. Wow. And this is my home. It is my home and my children's home. You know, being classed as an immigrant, although you've lived here for 50 odd years, asking for help, you are very hesitant, you see. You don't know because you don't want to be a burden on society. I think that is where my husband also didn't want to get any help even when his cancer had metastasized. He was a very proud person, you see, in the sense culturally he didn't want other people helping him. And I desperately needed someone to come and at least do the laundry. Anyway, this particular lady came to interview my husband. And she was asking questions and he felt it was very invasive. He got embarrassed. And then he suddenly got up and said, look, you can ask all these questions from my wife. Mm-hmm. So they said, well, we can't, you know, approve anything. We have got to question you. And of course, this lady said, I will come back in January. But, well, it passed away on the 19th of January in 2020. My husband could speak English. We could communicate with all that. But what happens to people who cannot? It's hard, I think, for a migrant sometimes, especially with all the noise that's going around at the moment.
You're listening there to Chalani. Chalani is an 82-year-old woman from Brisbane. Some of the challenges that she and her late husband have faced in accessing aged care and help. A Senate inquiry looking into the operation of the new supported home program yesterday heard evidence from multicultural advocates critical of how inaccessible the program can be for culturally and linguistically diverse people. Lisa Ward was one of the advocates who gave evidence yesterday, and Lisa is the CEO of the Ethnic Communities Council of Queensland. Lisa, listening to Chalani there, are stories like that common?
Unfortunately, yes, they are, and thank you for having me on today. Really appreciate you focusing on this issue.
The program is supposed to be about centering the care of elderly people. Is it centered around individuals from multicultural backgrounds from what you're seeing?
I actually argue that it's even centered around individuals at all. At the moment, there's a huge amount of work going on by providers to ensure that they're compliant, make sure they actually understand the system themselves, make sure that they've got a workforce, an engaging workforce to want to work in the sector, and ensuring they're financially sustainable, that I think actually the system is sitting in the centre of what we're doing and clients are at the back end. However, for our migrants and refugees, with the additional barriers of language, health literacy, not having the trusted relationships and not being able to navigate the system, no, they certainly are not at the centre of the system.
How does the current initial aged care assessment work, and is the model appropriate for members of multicultural communities?
So the assessment process, as you know, is the gateway into aged care, and it's meant to understand a person's need and determine the level of support that they require. The challenge is that the assessment relies heavily on people being able to communicate their needs, understand complex questions and advocate for themselves. And just like Shalani mentioned there, you know, there's an awful lot of barriers for people from different backgrounds. And it might be, you know, culture, language, stigma and shame, migration experiences, family circumstances, and that all really influences what good care actually looks like. So, I mean, I can give you another example, actually. One of my team recently supported a Vietnamese couple into the system, and both went through the exact same assessment process. They did it together. And the wife openly described the support that she needed and was assessed as a level 3. Her husband, a bit like Shalani's husband, had greater clinical needs. But throughout the assessment, he repeatedly said, "I'm fine. I don't want to be a burden to anyone." And he really was quite proud and didn't want to appear weak. And because of that, he actually ended up being assessed as a level 1. So it really wasn't that the assessment had been done badly. It was the exact same process, and it produced two very different outcomes. Interpreter was available, so the issue wasn't language, and it was understanding really they need to understand the person that was behind the words. But the consequence is services are providing, and my team was providing weeks worth of work to try and build trust with that family, because it chipped away at their trust in the system, impacts on the service providers as well. And they had to work with family, explaining the assessment outcome, coordinating interpreters, gathering a different additional information, and really advocating for reassessment. And none of that work is incidental. It's really for that family, that was the care that they needed.
Lisa Warder, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you for the opportunity.